I know you couldn't really do much, but I'd come over, just come and hang with you, because I know how much pain you're in and stuff. I'm just trying to, like, with all my friends, really, I just try and be there for them, even through the highs and lows. Like, I try, when your hip was first better, like, I'd come and do your walk.
Hello, everyone. Hope everybody's well. You currently join me recording this in Tenby, Wales. I've just been watching the Ironman Long Course Weekend, so it's been really great fun coming down here. Tenby also feels like quite a personal place for me. I've been coming here many years, ever since I was young, with a big group of people, a group of family and friends. So it's been really great just to actually edit some of the podcast stuff down here. It's also felt very much embedded what actually this podcast episode is about, with Archie Martin-Smith. Now, Archie is one of my really close friends. I've known him for many, many years, and I can say we know each other inside and out, better or for worse. We're not getting married, don't worry about that. But this episode is something very special. It's something that people don't talk about enough, which is the support network of people who've gone through accidents or tough times. Obviously, for me, I do talk about my struggles, my personal everyday struggles with my injury or mental health, and a lot of people with accidents do that. But also, that something isn't highlighted is what the people who support you have to go through as well. I've only realised that in the last couple of years, how much my family and friends have actually had to go through. And I suppose you actually feel a sense of guilt, and that can be tough to deal with. But at the same time, you've got to be very, very thankful that they've stuck with it, because they're the ones at the end of the day who are actually witnessing their loved one going through that and have to give up their own time and their dreams sometimes, with jobs or whatever they're doing to look after you. Believe it or not though, Archie's also a very avid sportsman. He's very much into tennis. He's been playing the game for many, many years. So much so, he's now over in Ozarks University studying finance, but also doing a tennis degree on top of that. So he's very much enjoying being out there and experiencing what sport can be like abroad as well. So I'll interview him a bit more about that. I think we'll learn a lot from this episode, so have a listen. I learned a lot, and of course, we'll have debrief on the other side. I suppose it's an avid thing, really, having a support network, and it's not usually something that's talked about enough with people in accidents and stuff like that, is the support network around the actual person as friends and family. I really think it's spoken about enough, but just to go back to begin with, I know it's going to sound like a bit like a primary school sort of thing, but just tell us a bit about yourself, because obviously for me, when I'm introducing you, I've almost found it quite hard this episode, because usually people almost know who I'm talking about, but for you, there's so much diversity in what you do. So just give you a bit of a roundup about yourself, really.
Yeah, so I'm 19 from England, Worcester. I went to King's Bruton for my secondary school, and then I was speaking to my head of sixth form there and wanted to pursue a tennis career over in the United States. Like, tennis has been my dream sport since I was about 8 or 9, really enjoyed it, playing every day, having regular lessons. And then I said to myself, why don't I go and push myself even more, going out to what I believe is the best place over in America to carry on my dream.
Cool, Arch, thank you very much. That's really interesting. What actually sparked it in the first place? Obviously, tennis is a bit of a niche sport anyway. You have to be quite a lot of capabilities within that. It's hand-eye coordination sport. What actually sparked it for you? Can you remember anything that... I know you've always particularly enjoyed sport. I remember you wanted to be a sports commentator when you were very younger. Don't know if that's still a dream now, but what actually sparked it for you in the first place?
It was John's idea about going over to America. He mentioned to me about how his brother is a coach over there, how he's really enjoying it and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I want to go over there and do tennis. So it basically started off recruiting, looking into different agents, stuff, doing myself, recording a video, which took about 45 minutes to an hour. So it was really good, really enjoying it. And it's probably since I was 13 or 14, I had that dream of going over there to play tennis. And then by 16, 17, I wasn't sure, because I had the doubts of, will I make new friends? Will I know anyone out there? Just the nerves of it, really. And then when I was 18, 19, I really stepped up playing every day and stuff. So, yeah, I'm really glad I went over there.
So it's been a bit of a long journey for you, I suppose. I mean, it hasn't been probably the easiest as well. You've had to navigate going that step up. We've talked about in episode 2, if you've listened to that, Ollie Cox, about the sort of step up from college to actual mainstream sport and how frightening and stuff that can be. Did you face much of that, especially because maybe you had to do quite a few interviews, didn't you, with that sort of thing?
It was quite challenging at points, like having interviews one-to-one and stuff. Like, for anyone out there, it's quite nerve-wracking, but for advice, is like the first 5 minutes would be the most hardest for me, and then once you're in that conversation, you're fine, you're relaxed and stuff. But most of the time, like, the coaches there are really nice, because I did mine over Zoom, like, they're really nice, supportive, and with me, they'd always check in on me to seeing how the application was going. So I felt like really supported, even though I was based over in the UK, even though they were over in America.
Yeah, nice, mate. So I'm quite interested as sort of going on from what I said about Ollie Cox in episode 2. Also, check that out if you haven't listened to it. Have you listened to Arch? Any recommendations?
Yeah, very good. Give it a listen.
Give it a listen. I'm quite interested in, like, the step up, because the step up from, we've talked about the UK and sort of that sort of bubble of cricket with Ollie, but it's a bit different where you are, because you were in Ozarks, is that right?
Yes.
Ozarks in America, which, for those who don't know, is South America?
Yeah, so South America, closest to Oklahoma.
Yeah, nice. And, like, obviously, having to step up there, what do you think, what is American sport, obviously, English sport is very much a sort of unifying thing. It's quite inbred in every school, that, you know, cricket, rugby, football, not just private schools, which we are fortunate to go to, but just every sort of school. Sport in general is quite embedded in our education. Compare it to America, what is it like you've seen over there? Is it very much, because you're a sporting sort of university, is that almost the only aspects you get to play sport out there? Do you think there's as much sort of schemes and stuff for sport out there as there would be pushing in the UK, if that makes sense?
Well, my opinion is I prefer America, just because, like, with the sports, there's so much to do. Like, recently I've been to a Razorbacks game, which is the local American football team. And just, like, because we don't get that in the UK. Obviously, it's so good and such a good experience, because it's like rugby, basically. But I prefer American football, just, like, how it's played and stuff, like throwing the ball and stuff. And also, like, in the UK, with me being at King's Bruton, like, the tennis standard wasn't the greatest, so it didn't feel like I was getting challenged enough compared to being over in America, where every game could go on for 3 hours and stuff. So I feel like I'm really being challenged and pushed, which I wanted, and that's the reason why I went over there.
Yeah, you've been to, talking about how you've been pushed more abroad, obviously you went to Paris as well, sort of on a tennis thing recently. Do you think tennis actually is taken more seriously in, obviously you've got Wimbledon, but if you actually look at Wimbledon in general, it is a lot of foreign players, there aren't at all really many English. I mean, you've got Andy Murray, but he's Scottish. So would you argue that actually tennis is taken a lot more seriously, like we take off rugby a lot more seriously in England than abroad? Do you think that's possibly why they have more options over there?
Yeah, I do, because even, I know Cam Norrie, is British, but when he finished secondary school, he went over there to play tennis, and look at him now, he's top 100 playing for England. But, like, just the experience of it is really good, and, like, you can see how much Cam Norrie's come on by going to uni over there. Like, he's learned so many new tips, hence he's challenging Alcaraz and stuff in matches, and it's really good.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's great to actually understand it from a different point of view, because when you're over there, you can see it a lot better. Just to round that sort of tennis bit off about yourself, obviously it's a large chunk of your life. Do you think it's going to be a long-term goal, that sort of thing? Or do you think it's sort of thing that you want to enjoy, you want to experience now, and then sort of level off when you get older? Is there any goals that you really want to achieve before you sort of hang your tennis racket up for professional side of things?
Well, my main goal is to see how far I make it, really. Like, that's been my goal. Even if it's just playing at college, I'll be happy. I can go and say to friends, oh, I've been over there, I've experienced this, I can recommend it to friends. But, like, my overall goal is to try and see how far I make it. I know, like, for example, Alcaraz, Djokovic, they've been playing since a quite young age, and I know Djokovic is quite old, but if you see Alcaraz, he's coming through now. So I hope my goal is to try and make it professionally, but if not, I won't be fussed because I'll try and do something I enjoy, like sports management or marketing, which, because I'm currently studying marketing, which I'll try and embroider into that because I love sports so much.
Yeah, really nice to hear, mate. Moving on to the support network, like we said at the start, obviously we've known each other for a very, very long time. I like to say that I know you very well and you know me very well. Yeah. We've both been there for each other, ups and downs. And like I said, when someone has an accident, what I've vainly found a lot, and I listen to a lot of people who've been through accidents and things like that, who need their family and friends support more than ever, that actually the support network is more effective than the person actually going for the injury, because the person with the injury is solely focused on themselves. And I've only sort of realised now, the years later, that actually how much I owe that support network that I had, and I still do have, and how much actually they probably see it more, because obviously they have to go through the watching it happen to your loved one and being the support people and actually putting their time and effort from whatever they want to do and achieve in life, such as my sister, yourself, mother and father, who, especially my sister, who had to do a GCSEs and A-levels and shit to obviously put up looking after me when I was wheelchair bound, etc. How did you find that, obviously being a part of our little friendship group, how did you find being the support network? Was there anything tricky about it? And yeah, just sum it up really. What did you feel? Obviously it was very much hit upon you, same as me and Max, and how was it for you?
Obviously, when I heard the news, I was absolutely devastated, like, because I've been your best friend for many years and stuff. Like, when I first heard when you had the accident, I was like, oh my God, is he all right and stuff? But, like, I've just been trying to message you every day, just see how you are, see progress. Like, I know you couldn't really do much, but I'd come over, just come and hang with you, because I know how much pain you're in and stuff. I'm just trying to, like, with all my friends, really, I just try and be there for them, even through the highs and lows. Like, I try, when your hip was first better, like, I'd come and do your walks, even though I couldn't walk, I'd cycle, yeah, trying to keep staying at your pace, but just being there for you. And I know, like, you've got many friends who are supportive, but just trying to do things with you.
Yeah, 100%. And I'd like to say I would give it back to you, obviously. Hopefully nothing serious will happen to you. I'm really hoping it doesn't. But it's every walk of life, really, isn't it? Because it can happen in the smallest thing. Obviously, losing a loved one, like, obviously, I haven't experienced that, but you have, and stuff like that. It's everyday life actually gets embedded into it, and I don't think people realise that. It doesn't have to be an accident. And it's great that, as a friendship group, we can all sort of see that now. Obviously, some of us are a bit more outgoing than others, and we'll leave that there. But any parts you properly struggled with? Any, not just from me, but any friendship you've ever been part of, just in general, is there anything that you've actually thought, this is actually a bit too much for me? Don't worry if you haven't, though.
One time is probably when I went actually off to America, because, like, beforehand, most of the summer, we'd be spending time seeing each other every day. If that was walking up to the pub with the dog, or just me coming over and stuff. But just going over to America, just like, now I'm going to be over there for many months without seeing you a lot. It's quite emotional, because obviously for anyone, when you go over the world, especially for me, for America, you lose, like, connection, really, because you're so busy over there. Like, for example, like, with me, some days I wouldn't finish tennis till like 10 p.m. and stuff, but just, like, there wouldn't be enough time to speak to friends and family, really.
Yeah, and that's obviously the challenging thing, I guess, is just losing that connection, and it's obviously so valuable over time, you can lose those connections, but that's important, and I think my accent especially has taught me that you've got to appreciate the little things, even walking up the, you know, pub the dog, obviously that probably hit you when you went to America, thinking, actually, a simple thing like that, it really does mean a lot, so it is appreciating little things. Any advice you give to anyone that would be put in a similar situation? Anything you probably want to do differently or do more, in a way?
Well, advice I'd give was just, like, if you have a dream, it could be anything, like horse riding, tennis, sport, what, etc. Just go and pursue it, because, like, at first I was a bit nervous about doing it, but I'm so glad I've done it, experience. Like, I feel like my game's improved, my overall fitness, and my mum and dad have been very supportive as well. Like, telling how well I'm doing and stuff. Yeah, that's about it, really. And always just stay close to your friends, even though how far away they are, for example, like, across the world and stuff. Like, because they mean a lot to you. Like, Henry, Ollie, just everyone's been so supportive and stuff. Like, even through the hard times when I'm homesick or upset about something, they've been there for me, sending me messages, calling me and stuff. So just be there for everyone.
Nice, mate. Yeah, nice. And I want to try something new with you, because I knew that, obviously, I've introduced you before this as well, that we're recording this now, about you, obviously, how much our close our friendship is, and it's glad to see that hopefully people have got a taste of it. I feel like it's hard to describe, and I found it hard even when I'm writing these questions here on this book here, of how to get across how much the support network actually means. Obviously, I've dived into that. A bit of mum and stuff like that on one of the previous episodes, but I'm glad you got a friendship perspective of that as well. So that's really great, mate. Thank you very much. But I wanted to try something with you, like I was saying. Where do you see yourself in 10 years' time? And I know it's a weird question, but I thought it would just be, it'd be quite a bit of a laugh just to see what actually you're going to say, because I don't know if you're going to be a some kind of like sex therapist or something like that or some gangster down in London or whatever, working in finance, but where do you think you see yourself in 10 years time, mate?
That's a good question, Helen. As I said earlier, well, I got three like main goals. Well, one main goal and two backups, basically. Obviously, as I said earlier in the podcast, like, I wanted to be a professional tennis player and stuff, but if that doesn't work out, probably sports management, as I said earlier in the pod.
It's hard, like, to repeat yourself, isn't it?
I'm currently doing marketing at uni, and like, I've just really enjoyed it, because at King's Bruce I did entrepreneurship as well. So like, there's some similarities which cross, which has allowed me to get a better understanding for what I do, and obviously my dream is sport. So like, I really enjoy that area. So maybe if it's just working in, like, a sports shop, like Sports Direct or something, like, I'd still be happy to do that, because it's like my passion and stuff. But if that doesn't work out, I've got recently, last summer, I got my level 1 LTA tennis coach, which allows me to, well, coach slash assist others. But this summer I'm trying to upgrade and do my level 2, which allows me to do one-to-ones and stuff. So that's my main goal really. But if that doesn't work out, just being with my friends, really helping mum and dad, because they're getting quite old now, so gotta help out the family. But that's about it, really. Maybe do a bit of traveling, even if I'm 28, 29, just go and see what the big world is like.
Yeah.
One of my goals is to go and see Brazil. Oh, and that's about it, really.
Yeah, the beauty of life, isn't it, really? It's just, like I said, I was talking to Ed Barrett, one of our previous guests, and it was just very much like, enjoying what you do, especially Volley Cox as well. It was just very much just sport-wise. I see you're saying at the end of the day, it's a team effort, and it's just enjoying what you do. It doesn't really matter the pay wage, and it's this big expectance of having to earn a certain amount of money and stuff like that. But if you're enjoying yourself and you're, generally happy in life, that's the main thing, I think. And
yeah,
I feel, especially what we talked about in this episode, is friendship. And I feel like if you're there for your friends and they're there for you and you're both happy, then why worry about what you're achieving? And I'd say our friendship group is very diverse as well, to be honest with you. And I feel like it actually works that way. It works really well. So, Arch, thank you very much for coming on. I hope you've enjoyed the experience of podcast life. And one question, ready to go to the pub, mate?
I was born ready. Win or lose, on the booze.
So, to basically sum up all of that, I'm now stood here on Tenby North Beach, looking over the beautiful sea. And the long course weekend cycling, so just going on behind me. I better go and find my mother in a minute, because she's taking part in that.
But anyway, before all of that, a quick debrief from the episode. Obviously, Ike's been a great mate of mine for many years, and it's great to actually hear the aspects of what the support network have to go through, and I hope it's lightened people's minds that it's not just the person who's had the accident, it's actually the people who have been looking after them as well. But that actually comes into everyday life. Looking here over the sea now, I'm thinking to myself, actually, day to day, you have that with your friendship. But friendship means that you're looking after each other. It means that through our highs and lows, you stick together and you try and do your best for each other. It can be tough sometimes, it can be challenging, but that's what a friendship's all about. If you stick with it, that is a true friendship. And that's what Archie and me are very much embedded in. I'm very lucky to have that with many people. So you're listening to this now, thinking, just think to yourself, actually, how many times you've had to do that in your life. It was measured a bit more measured in my accident, but obviously it is inbred in everyday life. Also on the sports and sort of things, just behind me, I'm looking up now, there's a cyclist who are whizzing past up on the top road on the long course weekend cycling part, which is about 120 miles. And really, sportsmanship is inbred in all of us. Those people up there, they're from top quality athletes, just people who are going to give it a go and give it their best shot to achieve the challenge of completing the long course weekend and in total, the Ironman hopefully next year as well if they go on to that. But that's what sportsmanship's all about. Obviously, summed up of Archie, he just said he's going to have a go, see where it goes, and he can only give it his best shot. That's all summed up on this weekend I'm literally watching right now. I think for me, after listening back to that podcast. So hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. It's taught me a lot. Please tune in. Next week's guest is even more. Goes into depth of a lot of things. She's had a very amazing career, and hopefully you're going to enjoy it. So follow us all on socials, keep in contact, and look out for next week's episode. Thank you for listening. Stay safe, everybody.